All right, Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 through 6, we speak on the subject of war with Russia. Ezekiel 38 and verses 1 through 6. Ezekiel 38, beginning with verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Now shall we pray, Father, I pray that you'd help us to rightly divide your word this morning, but also, Lord, I pray that you would open the understanding of each person's heart to what is preached and taught here this morning. And we'd ask this in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's coming a time when Russia, with a coalition of nations, will come against Israel. It will take place after the rapture. Now, the rapture is the next event to take place on God's calendar. That's when every saved person that is alive on the face of this earth and those who died in Christ will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that is the word of God's promise. After the rapture, there will be a coalition of European nations under the old Roman Empire nations, led by a leader. This leader will confirm a covenant with Israel. That covenant is for 7 years. Those 7 years, the Bible refers to them as the time of Jacob's trouble. We normally take another Bible word to refer to it. In our vernacular, we call it the tribulation. It's 70 years of tribulation divided into two parts. 3.5 years of tribulation and 3.5 years of great tribulation. I believe that Russia and her coalition of nations will come against Israel at the beginning of the tribulation. Now, could there be a time between the rapture and the actual start of the tribulation? There very well could be. How much time? We don't know. However, I believe that somewhere in that time that Russia, by the beginning of the tribulation, will have come against Israel, because we know the Bible also instructs that they'll be bearing of these people and burning their weapons and so forth for 7 years. And so that's another reason why I believe that. But now we have listed for us the coalition of nations that's coming against Israel. But I believe also that there is a reason for this attack that maybe we have not seen that is forming now. But before we look at the reason, I want you to look at this Russian coalition and the identification of those who are involved. Verse 2 refers to Gog, who is the leader of the land of Magog. Dr. C.I. Scofield, some of you have the Scofield Bible notes and the old Scofield Bibles. And that Bible was produced by him and printed in 1909. In his notes, he identifies the land of Magog as Russia. In that day, they laughed him to scorn. How could it be Russia? Just a couple of years earlier, 3 or 4 years earlier, they had been soundly defeated by a third rate, maybe even a fourth rate country by the name of Japan. How could Russia lead a coalition of nations against Israel that didn't exist at the time either? How could that happen? Well, today we know it can happen and is very likely to happen. Archaeologists and historians tell us that the name given to the land area of Russia at one time was Magog. As a matter of fact, I don't know if they still do it. I haven't looked at one in a long time. But the pencils that we used to have when I was a kid in school, the number two pencils, they had on the side written Magog. And that was to represent wood from that area of the earth. And it was the idea of Magog. It's the idea of Russia there. Meshach and Tubal is mentioned. That is modern-day Moscow and Tobolsk, or maybe better known as Stalingrad. Then verse 5 takes us down into an interesting group of odd fellows in this coalition. The first name there is Persia. Persia was modern-day Iran and Iraq, and it was identified that way until about the 1930s. I look for an event to happen that will eliminate that distinction. They very well could take on the name Persia once again. I don't know that they will, but that's quite possible. And I'll give you reasons for that in just a little bit. The next country is listed as Ethiopia. It's very interesting. In 1994, Ethiopia was 53% Christian. Now, we say 53% Christian. That would include Catholics. That would include Mormons. That would include Jehovah's Witnesses. But all of that came under Christian. 53% Christian. Most of them we probably wouldn't say are saved. But nonetheless, they were 53% Christian. And at the time, they were also, I believe it was 24% Muslim. Today, they are 43.5% Christian, 33.9% Muslim. In other words, Christianity, in all of its forms, dropped 9.5%. Muslims increased almost a full 10% in that land. I believe the Muslim faith grows because they evangelize the masses, while Christianity seeks ease and pleasure. Their churches are for entertainment more than they are for the gospel and the true, plain teaching of the Word of God. It's who can rock the best today instead of who is preaching the Word of God as it is to men as they are. The Muslim faith also appeals to the fleshly lust of men. And when I say men, I'm particularly referring to the males. They tell men now that they can have four wives. You're in charge of your home. More than just the head of the home, it's more like master and slave. They have four wives, and then if one wife quits producing, they can get rid of her under their system and have another wife, so they'll have at least four producing wives at all times. They have 72 virgins when they die. Why you'd want 72 mother-in-laws, I have no idea. But that's what they tell us. In addition, Islam has standards. They don't want to put up with the crime like we do. And that's probably something better about Islam than things that go on in America that takes the side of the criminal over the victim. But nonetheless, they don't put up with it. They go through their neighborhoods, and at least the common crimes of gangs and so forth of that nature against their people, they put a good, strong stop to that. Abdul Malik, the imam who organized the recent prayer time in Washington, D.C. in the last couple of weeks. They're supposed to have thousands upon thousands, and I think they end up with maybe 2,000. But nonetheless, they had the prayer time there, and it drew much media attention, of course. But nonetheless, he said, we are not out to democratize Islam. Instead, we're out to Islamicize democracy. According to Iran tracker.com, Ethiopia and Iran have focused on strengthening their trade relations. They are strengthening their economic ties. In 2007, Ethiopia stated its intent to purchase Iranian oil. In 2008, Iran responded with its stated intent to reciprocate by investing in Ethiopia's private sector, particularly in agriculture and natural resources. Ethiopia also has great relations with Turkey, of which we'll say more in a few minutes. With Russia, she's received some aid, but she does have strained relationships with Russia at the present because Russia helps the Sudan. However, they're still able to buy weapons, artillery, and things of that nature from the Russians. The next group listed here, the next country listed for us in verse 5, is Libya. In October of 2008, Libya made a gas and arms deal with Russia. It's a deal that Ethiopia also would be interested in. And that could spell trouble down the road for Europe and her gas and oil supplies. There's one thing that these nations that we're mentioning have in common, especially here in verse 5. They all hate Israel. It's unfortunate that our country in September recognized two of the Islamic holidays and sent congratulatory letters from our government, particularly Mrs. Clinton, as well as our president, and honored them two different times while Israel had Yom Kippur and one other one, and it slips me for the moment, but there was no congratulatory letter. Nothing was said about it to show a disdain for them. And when you bless Israel, God blesses you, and when you curse Israel, God curses you. We need to beware. You'd think a country in an economic downturn would think about that. And we need to think of things like that. Verse 6 provides us with the rest of the coalition. Gomer is Germany, not a weird marine, okay? Gomer was the first son of Japheth. They migrated into the northern parts of Europe. The Germanic tribes of Europe can trace their lineage back to Gomer. All his bands would include Poland and the Baltic states. Now, why would Germany, who is a member of the European Union, why would Germany side with the Russians? Well, Germany receives her gas, her natural gas, from Russia. She's heavily dependent upon Russia for that. So she doesn't want to do anything that will cut off supplies from the Russians. When the NATO nations tried to expand to the Ukraine and Georgia, you remember a couple of years ago, the Russians invaded. To be a part of NATO, all the member nations have to vote yes. Germany always votes no. Why? Because they vote yes, it strains their relations with Russia, and they cut off the natural gas with them. And so they're not going to do it. And it's interesting because NATO was an institution built to resist the Russians. But NATO today is in an advanced state of decay. To resurrect it, the Germans would have to pay a steep economic price. And if they paid that price, they would also carry much of the strategic risk militarily. Recent elections show that Germany has gone to a stronger conservative government. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. In America, many considered President George Bush as a conservative. Actually, he was what you call middle right. He wasn't a conservative in the true case of a conservative. A lot of spending took place in his area. And conservatives are often called on to rebuild the economy of a country. And so that's what they've done in Germany to strengthen it. And so they're going to stay with the Russians. The Germans see their economic commitment as being to the European Union. And that binds them to the French, and it's a bond that they don't want to break. You see, Germany is the strongest member of the European Union economically. But what you have to understand about the European Union today is that it has no political or military force in relation to the Russians. Beyond economics, the European Union is only a debating society. And whereas Germany remains committed to its economic relationship with the West, there's no way they're going to make a military commitment against the Russians. So you see how this is starting to form as Ezekiel 2,600 years ago said it would happen at the tribulation time. And the Lord said, when you see these things beginning to come to pass, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Christians, he's saying, your rapture is getting close. Next group we see is Tagarma. Tagarma, by both theologians as well as archaeologists and historians, is considered to be Turkey. And it says, many people with thee. And you know, that's interesting to me that he says many people with thee, because Germany had many bands. They have many people. I believe that many people with Turkey will be some of these various Islamic groups that are nationless, so to speak, and they team up with them. Now, one of the interesting things is that in most of the nations in the Russian coalition, most of those nations were not a prominent part of the old Roman Empire. That old Roman Empire, its nations will be resurrected in some fashion during the tribulation. But Turkey, in 2006, had the 18th largest world economy, larger than any Muslim country, including Saudi Arabia, that everybody says so much about today. Turkey is not only an export-oriented country. As a matter of fact, it has developed a middle class that is quite substantial. They not only produce, they buy their products. Matter of fact, Turkey at one time was heavily reliant upon the USA for military help and security. They don't rely on the USA anymore to guarantee its national security. Turkey is a rising power economically, militarily, and politically. Its economy at the beginning of 2008 was $400 billion in value. They have the second largest military presence in NATO. And yet, the Western nations seem to deny Turkey full membership and membership in general. The European Union in specific. And because of that, we find that Turkey sees Russia as a help to them economically more than the democratic state, so-called, of the European Union. Now, one of the most interesting things in all of this is that Iran and Armenia give strong competition to Turkey. The Kurds of Iraq, that are near the south border of Turkey, they're not really a problem to them there, but the Kurds have become a problem to the inner unity of Turkey. It should not be a hard problem for them to take care of, but it is one they need to deal with. And I believe they will deal with it. And once that's taken care of, the world's anger spills over with Iran, and that could be very soon. And with Iran out of the picture, Iraq takes a stronger control, and you can see then how they become a Persian alliance once again when they gain a control over the problem that's in Iran right now. The people over there don't care for Iran for the most part. They want something done about it. Iraq stepping in, unifying, helps to regard that as a Persian alliance. And as a Persian alliance, they could maintain those relationships we mentioned earlier with Ethiopia and Libya. A Persian alliance is one of the best things that can happen for Turkey. Certainly, they would support that. Turkey is pursuing interests indifferent to the European or American views. As a matter of fact, America is dependent upon Turkey for airspace and other helps. At the present, the Europeans and Russians are competing over a slew of natural gas products and projects. Those projects center around the Black Sea, which borders Turkey. It also borders Russia. Here's the thing. Let us imagine you can run pipelines from Ocala. It has natural gas. And we say we can run those up to Canada. Or we can run them to Jacksonville. What's going to be the cheapest? And what's going to make us the most money more quickly? We're going to Jacksonville, of course. So instead of sending that gas up to Europe, there's a project called the Blue Stream 2 proposal, which will have a pipeline going straight across the Black Sea underneath it from Turkey to Russia. Bypassing the Ukraine that's been a thorn in the side of Russia. And this sets up a strong economic tie. So economically speaking, Russia would be best for Turkey. Meanwhile, Iraqi officials have met with Syrian officials to discuss the problems with militants. The point is, they met in Turkey. Those talks broke down. However, because Turkey was the host nation, it elevates them in a position of power to mediate. Not changing directions on you, but the United States and the Israeli National Defense Forces conducted in September of 2009, this year, a joint training exercise simulating an attack. Attacks from Iran, Syria, Lebanon, and the Gaza Strip. Those four nations. And with the exception of Iran being a part of Persia, we don't see those four places named at all in this list with Russia. They're nowhere to be found. What's happened? Well, they've been somehow neutralized. That's one reason I believe that Iraq will have control of Persia. It was in September that Turkey and Iraq met together at a high level for Strategic Cooperation Council. They met in Turkey. They're building a strong cooperation between them for security and energy and agriculture and commerce and health and public works. But especially of note, they're meeting together to coordinate areas of cooperation, developing oil and natural gas. These are things they don't have with Iran. In other words, Iran is not in any way in cahoots with Turkey. And it makes one wonder if we will see, even before the rapture, an effective war that makes Iran, Syria, Lebanon, and Gaza of little or no consequence. It may even lead to the taking down of the walls in Israel. Those that went with me to Israel saw those walls and what trouble you got. For example, when we went into Bethlehem, having to change buses and the things that you had to do to go into Bethlehem. And those walls that are up there and the gates for protection. And Ezekiel 38:11 will say, the land of unwalled villages. Syria, Gaza, Lebanon, and Iran have to be neutralized for them to take those walls down and to have trust. To be the land of unwalled villages. Especially of note is the idea that all the material that I have researched in preparation for this message, there's one truth that stands out. I mean, I had several different areas where I went for this information, but there's one truth that stands out among it. You know what it is? All these nations, forming even now into a coalition, do not trust one another. They're setting up agreements, but they don't trust each other. And in Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 19 through 21 says, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of heaven and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, and the Lord God says, every man's sword shall be against his brother. What's he saying? He's saying that the Lord's going to cause earthquakes, hell, and start destroying these armies. These armies so distrust one another in this coalition that they'll start killing one another, thinking somebody has betrayed them. And we'll find out in Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 2, 5/6 of this army is destroyed. 5/6 is destroyed. But why would they attack Israel as a coalition? Why would they want to come against Israel? Little tiny Israel makes up 0.5% of all the land area in the Middle East. Why would they go against Israel with them being so small? Well, it may be due to recent discoveries that would undo the economic fortunes, especially of Russia, Germany, and Turkey. An oil drilling company found billions of dollars worth of natural gas 50 miles off the coast of Haifa just very recently, in the past year. Starting this month, October 2009, the same company is going to start drilling in the Dead Sea for that black gold oil. So you have natural gas and oil. According to the Delek Group, its CEO, a man by the name of Yitzhak Teshuva, he estimates that the original gas find off Haifa has more than doubled their original estimates. Not only will it be sufficient for Israel, but they can, in the near future, become an exporter. Estimates on the Dead Sea oil is that it's right off the bat worth $500 million. They believe it so strongly that this company put out $500,000 right off the bat to protect the environment during their drilling. They hit this oil, they hit this natural gas. It affects the income of Turkey and Russia. Germany will lose millions, and it wrecks the economy of those nations. Now, we know that Islam hates the Jew. Libya and Ethiopia would have no problem attacking them. Persia helps those two nations with their energy, Turkey with gas, Russia with military and money. And so as that happens, Europe turns its heart to Israel because she is now able to help Europe economically. She's able to give them gas and oil and help them out. But when this coalition comes against them, Israel's going to hear the same thing that Georgia and the Ukraine heard when Russia attacked. Again, Ezekiel 38:11 says, "And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." In other words, it's not defended. The walls have been taken down. And in verse 13, he says, "Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold? To take away cattle and goods, to take away great spoil." In other words, you're going to wreck their economy. But it says, they say, Israel will only hear them say. Just like, remember, Ukraine was attacked, Georgia. What happened? The United States said, oh, this is terrible. Other nations said, this is terrible. What did we do about it? Nothing. Nothing. God will deliver Israel. He will be the one that stands in there. They'll only talk and debate from this coalition of European nations. However, the Antichrist will try to take credit for it. 5/6 of an army destroyed, of a coalition destroyed. Now he's in the best position that he can be in. And he becomes that rider on the horse that has a bow but no arrows. Now, we see the stage being set. We're not there yet. However, let me warn you. There is absolutely nothing that has to happen for the rapture to take place today. I'm just saying that the coalition and the reasons are being set up right now, I believe. Nothing must happen. But God set in order these things 2,600 years ago. And it's happening as he said it would. There were over 300 prophecies of his first coming. And every one of them, not one failed, every promise of his first coming was fulfilled. And that being the case, what does that say to each of us personally? As every one of us will give account of himself unto God. In Luke 13:3, Jesus Christ said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And by that he meant you will go to that burning lake of fire forever and ever. In Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth. Who commandeth? God. Commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. Jesus is the only way of salvation. There are not many roads to heaven. There are not many ways to heaven. There's only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that died and paid the penalty in full. He paid a ransom. You know, when somebody gets kidnapped, we'll hear about a ransom being up there, and are they going to pay the ransom? When Adam and Eve sinned, Satan got control. And there was a ransom. And Jesus Christ paid the ransom. He literally, bodily rose up from the dead 3 days later. And he's in heaven preparing a place for all those who will receive him. But John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you're going to go to heaven, if you're going to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're going to have everlasting life in heaven, you must come through Jesus Christ. It's not church membership. It's not baptism. It's not religion. It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. And my friend, if you're not sure, if you died today that heaven's your home, let me plead with you and beg you even now, come to Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that as we have this hymn of invitation, Jesus paid it all. Paid it all so we wouldn't have to try to earn it, because we couldn't. Paid it all so that we could have everlasting life in heaven. I pray, Father, that if there's one here today that's not certain that they died, that heaven's their home, that today would be the day they receive Christ as Savior. Now, Father, I pray for Christians, Lord, to just commit themselves and say, Lord, use me, help me.
I want to serve you, and I want to do it right. I don't want to be entertained. I want to be a servant. I want to be used of God. And I pray they'd come seeking your power, seeking your leading, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.